Let's pray for God's word. It won't be a short, it won't be a long message. But I want us to have our hearts touched and filled by God's word and God's spirit today. Okay? Mike, I'd like to surprise you with asking you to pray for me and for us all, please. Thank you. Amen. As usual on this Sunday, we focus on the parts of scriptures that speak about the ladies in our lives, actually ladies in the scriptures that, you know, give us lessons. But before I start that, it's not just for the ladies. So I try always to prepare my messages in such a way that everyone present here will be encouraged and challenged and equipped and helped to live a life that honors God. So I'll leave that on the screen for now. You know, that's my mom. You know, today, she passed away in 2012. It's been a few years since she passed away. But, you know, my mom has been a great influence in my life. And not just her, but Anna's mom too, because we lived close, you know, door to door for a number of years. And like we all said today, and we'll probably keep on saying it, we honor our moms, and we come here on a Mother's Day, and we celebrate not just mothers, but the women that God has placed in our lives. And, you know, we all remember the lessons from our mothers. You know, my mom taught me many things, but amongst them was one phrase, "Don't make the girl cry." You know, she drilled that into me like forever. I mean, there was not one time that we should not see me and say, "Don't make the girl cry," okay? The girl being, obviously, Anna. And I just loved how my mom loved my wife. You know, when we would walk in the house in my mom's apartment and she would push me, I would be usually first for some, I don't know, like my home, I guess. She would push me aside, give Anna a hug and a kiss, and then she would come to me. You know, so actually I appreciated that a lot. And then I appreciate Anna's mother. I don't have a picture of her. I tried to find one, but I didn't find one that was I liked. But Anna's mother, she taught me persistence, and she taught me that with strength of will is very important in a mother of six. And too many lessons there. But my mom taught me, for example, how is it to endure patiently through difficulties. She was born in 1934. She was 10 during when the war finally reached the battlefronts, reached Romania. She grew through hunger, the 45-46 hunger in Romania when it had a big drought, and the Russians took everything that the drought did not destroy. And but she learned how to push through difficulties, and she passed those lessons to us. You know, she taught me what it means to love sacrificially. And especially last years of her life, she taught me how to love even those who do not deserve to be loved. It was a great lessons. But this phrase that I put first just sticks out. You know Proverbs 31? If anyone asks you, what is all about Proverbs 31? Who would be able to say that? Say what? Righteous women, okay? The great, the image of a great woman of God. But it all starts, you know, who taught Lemuel those? You know, I love how this chapter starts. It starts with an oracle, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. And as you probably, if you study scriptures, you know that repetition is important, okay? So if the author repeats something a couple of times, that means it's important. Guess what phrase is repeated three times in Proverbs 31? It's this: "What are you doing, my son?" Three times. What are you? I don't know what the tone of that lady was, but I can just hear my mom. "What are you doing, my son?" Anyway, three times. First one of Proverbs 31. That was, you know, a pastor's, I guess, attempt at humor. But before we start, let me say this: for some of you, this might be actually a bad Sunday. For some of you, this may not be the best Sunday of the year, and my heart is with you too. For all of you that try to become mothers, And somehow God did not seem to hear prayers. My heart is with you. For all of you that feel like failures, and you do not need another sermon to pile more guilt upon you, well, my heart is with you too. For all of you that have suffered and maybe still suffer today because of a negative experience in your family, my heart is with you. And for all those that have lost their moms and cannot, you know, taste that amazing cooking today, my heart is with you. And I do pray that as we go into the scriptures to look at God's truth, that you will be inspired and ministered to and encouraged to continue to trust God and His grace and His love and His power despite any storm that you might be going through today. There's an old hymn from the late 1800s, that says, "It is well with my soul." That has been my prayer for you in the last week as I prepared this message, that today God will be the one walking you through the storm. Okay, well, let's go to the actual lesson for today. Women of faith. And as we talk about women of faith, I'll talk about Timothy. Don't jump on me. I'm going somewhere. You know, have you heard about Timothy? You know about Timothy from the scriptures? Not Timmy from, or Timmy's, just Timothy from the scriptures. Paul wrote two letters to him, and we see a lot of Timothy in Acts, because he was a companion of Paul's, he was a disciple of Paul, he was sent by Paul to different churches, and he ministered to the churches as he was raised up in the faith, in the work of Christ by God. You know, his name, Timotheus, means honoring God. Honoring God's great name, by the way. Great choice. I know. So he went through a lot of things, and he has a very important role in the church, in the history of the church. But there was a foundation that was laid in his life early on. And that's where I'm going today. Talk about the women that have helped in shaping Timothy and who he was, or who he became. You know, because the foundation for his ministry was laid not in the years when he met Paul and he learned how to actually go and evangelize. The foundation was laid many years before. And that's a picture of actually his grandma, Lois. You know, it's Rembrandt, actually. It's a very famous picture, it seems. But Lois teaching Timothy the scriptures. Because of this verse. And you may know it. If not, you'll just read together with me from the, I have ESV version. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith," Paul wrote to Timothy, "a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well." And with this verse in mind, let's just think for a second about the amazing role of a faith-filled mother, grandmother, and you fill in the blanks there, because it's, yeah, we honor the mothers, but we know that families are more complex than just the mom. But, you know, the amazing role of a faith-filled mother cannot be underestimated. When the mother is praying and teaching and especially living an example, being a role model for the child, that has a power that goes beyond words. I just read a quote this week. "Kids will often fail to do what we say, but they will never fail to do what they see in us." You know, and especially I look at my kids sometimes, and I look, sometimes their behavior, you know, it's like a teenager, you know, somewhat challenging, but I see so much of myself in them. In the bad parts, you know, in the not so good parts, and I see so much of Anna in the good parts in both Matei and Emma. So let us have this thing in mind and pray for ourselves, pray for our mothers, for our wives, our aunts and grandmothers and grand aunts and whatever, and for those who will become mothers one day, and pray that they can be. I mean, no prophecy here. I don't know nothing, Steve. It's like I was just. Anyway, that they can be this amazing, faith-filled examples that lay the foundations of the lives of ministry for many that will come in the future. You know, let's read this verse again. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. Paul was very aware of the role and importance of a godly parent in the family. But it's more than just faith. It starts with faith, obviously. There's nothing else more important than the faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is the beginning. But there's a second step there. You know, as you see on the scriptures, that's actually a picture of, not picture, sorry. It's an Instagram. It's a painting of Eunice and Timothy. And as Eunice is reading the scriptures and she's teaching her son. I have no idea who did that. I just Googled it, so I found it. It looks nice. And because I knew Dennis would be in the church, so I put pictures on the screen because Dennis was here. Okay, good. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Okay, good. Dennis is my... he helps me to improve in many ways, including PowerPoints. So anyway, knowing what matters most. I have a question for you. What is a mother's priority when it comes to children? What is a mother's priority? Or, you know, we can add parent, but let's think about mothers. Is it, you know, make sure kids get a great education? Or kids get a great job? Or especially boys get a good wife? It works the other way around too, you know? Those are great priorities. Don't get me wrong. You know, having good education, having good jobs, having a godly spouse, those are great things. But those are not the primary, the most important priority, you know? Knowing what matters most is something that really you could see in both Eunice and Lois. Albert Barnes, an author, wrote this, "The mother of Timothy was a pious woman and regarded as it one of her duties of her religion to train her son in the careful knowledge of the Word of God." And you probably know these verses from 2 Timothy. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." It says here, from the childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred scriptures. Most homes, guys, you know, we go and have jobs and are busy and doing this and doing that. But in North America, at least, there is a culture where the mother spends more time with kids. Well, I guess that's valid. It's valid in Africa and Europe, most places. Moms have a lot more time with the kids. And the Lord did command the fathers to teach their children. But we know that actually, to be honest, moms have a great spiritual influence in the teaching of the kids. You know, seeing your sons and daughters succeed is important. But how do we define success? How do we define what is most important for our kids? You know, it is our culture today, especially in Canada, in Toronto, to make sure our kids go to the best schools, get the best education. We spend time and give money. And that's okay. It's not wrong. It's not sinful. But if we have the greatest school for our kids and they go to hell, have we succeeded? Let me be blunt. I'll be blunt here. Sorry about that. I mean, I could sugarcoat it a bit, but if we do our best job to make sure they have the best school, the best job, the best education, the best wife, the best everything. I'm talking about sons right now for some reason. Girls, it works for girls too. But they still end up without God. Have we succeeded? No. So what matters most? We need to know that. We need to know our priorities. Yes, earning a good income, having a great family is important. But knowing God is the most important part. Seeing that our sons and daughters succeed in life means that we imprint in their hearts the values and the truths of the kingdom of God. Faith, the word of the Lord, the practice of living out that word of God, that's what matters most. And we see in Timothy a great, amazing example of a successful man who has behind him two great women of faith that influenced him. And that is what matters most, to make sure that we pass on our faith, our knowledge, our practice, our example to the next generation. Oh, that was actually on the screen. I forgot. Next one, women and persistence. I'm sitting outside a bit now from the Bible. It's more from the culture of that century and that country, and not quite from the scriptures. I don't have a verse for this, so you know, have patience with me on this one. If you remember from the scriptures or from the history or whatever, the women in the Jewish context did not have the most easygoing position. You know, the Jewish culture saw the woman as somewhat not as important as men. There was a famous rabbi prayer that said, God, thank you for not making me a woman, a dog, or a Samaritan. Lord, thank you for not making me a woman, a dog, or a Samaritan. That was a prayer, you know, back in the day. And that reflected a bit of the culture of those days. So, you know, if you think about odds stacked against you, you know, it starts with that in that culture. And on top of that, we know that Timothy's father, you know, Eunice's husband, was a Greek Gentile, and we know nothing about his faith. I cannot say he was a Christian. I cannot say he was not a Christian. All I know is that there is no trace of his influence in Timothy's life as far as we know from the scriptures. We know about the mom and the grandma. We know nothing about the father. So, you know, I don't want to assume too much, but definitely Eunice did not have an easy job, both because of the culture and because of the family pressures. But she knew it was worth it. And that was the word persistence comes in. James 1:12. Who knows James 1:12 by heart? Blessed are those who persevere. I know it. I was talking to you. Blessed are those who persevere under trial, for they will receive the crown of righteousness. Blessed are those who persevere under trial. James 1:12. You know, perseverance means even if it's hard, you keep doing what is right. Even if you face opposition, you keep doing what is right. Even if your kids even may not accept what you say, you keep doing and saying what is right. It's perseverance. It's doing what you know must be done. It's choosing not the easy way, but choosing the right way. I have a word here, intentionality. As a mother, as a father, as a parent, you must be, speak to myself too, be intentional about passing down our faith. I said this before, maybe not from the pulpit, but one of the greatest checks for me as a pastor was to speak from the pulpit and have my wife and my kids listen to what I say. Because I never wanted that my kids would ever say, what he preaches doesn't match what he lives. So I had to, you know, always filter, and not filter, what's the word? Check, am I living what I say, you know? And it's worth it. And perseverance means you don't look at what's against you. You do what is right, which is what? Pass on your faith. Instill the values of God's kingdom based on God's word. And define success as God defines it, you know, which is being a son or a daughter of God. Oops, there must be a sim. Okay. PowerPoint made in hurry. Just look at the top part, the yellow part. Mothers and the courage to let go. I look briefly at Timothy's life in the book of Acts and what I can glimpse from the letters of Paul that mention Timothy's name. We know that he actually probably ended up in prison for a season. From the book of Hebrews, it says that Timothy was released from prison, so he must have been jailed for a while. We know he was a companion of Paul in his missionary trips. You know how fun was Paul's mission trips? Remember those verses in 2 Corinthians? The fun on going to mission. This summer we're going to Dominican or going to Hawaii. We're going to on mission. So what was that? New Zealand. Sorry, I missed the location. Listen how Paul is, was, you know, let's say Paul writes to his wife. Honey, actually he was not married. No. Well, if he his journal. Paul says this. I'm going on mission field. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be imprisoned. I'm going to be beaten countless times. I'm going to be near death often. 5 times I will be at the hands of the Jews for the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I'm going to be beaten with rods. Yay! Once I will be stoned. 3 times I will be shipwrecked. A night and a day I will be adrift at the sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Mission trips. Yay. Okay? And Timothy was with Paul on those mission trips. Let's bring it today. Imagine Timothy's mother watching or following Instagram posts and saying, yay, today I got bitten 39 times with the lashes and my back is all sore and open wound. I'm bleeding, but God is good. And mom says, ouch. And next day, Timothy posts another Instagram post, you know, or Facebook or whatever, you know, was in those days. And you see, I'm in jail today. I'm in heavy chains in a dungeon. It's dark. I have no food and it's cold, but God is good. And next day, the mother sees, I'm going on a mission trip. I'm going to be on a boat. And then says, the boat sank and I drifted on the sea for a night and a day. Mission trips. Imagine the heart of the mother. And I said, bring it today. The lesson is that our kids have their own faith in Christ and their own call from God that may include risks we are not willing for them to take. But we need to learn to let go. Because safety is not necessarily the best place for someone to always be. But as mothers, safety is a primary concern because that's how God wired us. You know, we need safety, but that is not the primary concern. The primary concern is God's will fulfilled? And I pray that my son or my daughter or both of them will one day will say, I want to go and preach where Christ was never preached before. I just met the family on Thursday. Young people, 30 and 32 or something like that, Brazilians, actual from Brazil, and they're heading towards the jungles of the Amazon to work with tribes in the Amazon. You know, I do not want to know what's in the mother's heart of those two young guys, you know, a couple married, and knowing that we're going to a place where they'll live on a boat on a river that's infested with animals that can kill you, that's surrounded by people that can rob you, that has people that can shoot you, or, you know, whatever. But they're going there, you know? They're going because God has called them. They said yes, and God said, that's where we're going, you know? But that's part of the power of letting go. You teach your kids faith. You teach your kids the values of God's kingdom through God's word. You give them your example despite all the odds and opposition. And in the end, they say, Mom, I want to be a missionary. And go like that kid that went to the Pacific in an island with cannibals and was killed. And people criticized that kid that got killed by the cannibals like a couple of months ago, last fall sometimes. But you know what? We have a choice of being safe and letting those guys die and go to hell without Christ, or letting go of our sons or daughters to go there, risk their death, but bring at least one more soul to the kingdom of God. What are our values? Faith, God's kingdom's values from the scriptures, persistence, because it's worth it. And in the end, letting go. And for some parents, it's easy to let go than others. You know, for some kids are just independent minded, and we go get a job, move out, you know. But sometimes, most times actually, the opposite is true. Stay home, you know, have a sandwich, let me wash your clothes, stuff like that, you know. There's a time when we say, son or daughter, it's time for you to follow God's call, even though that may be risky, including missions or jungle or death, or even worse, becoming a pastor. That was a joke, okay? That was a joke. I'm about to end. As I told you, it will be a short message today. This message today revolves around mothers, but in the end, there are lessons for all of us here that we need to learn and apply in our lives. The foundation of faith in our lives and the lives of the next generation. The foundation of faith, passing on our faith to the next generation, is crucial. And then the priority of God's word and the values of God's word instilled in us, and then that we instill in those around us, the values of God's word. To quote Billy Graham, to always say, the Bible says. If no one else remembers anything from Billy Graham, it's just three words, the Bible says. You know, and that this must be us. We must say to our kids, the Bible says, but in a godly way, in a grace-filled way, we must say it. The lesson, again, is of persistence and intentionality. Is that a word, intentionality? Okay, I hope I didn't make it up. Of doing what is right, despite being hard, despite being not the popular choice, despite opposition. Still do the first 2 points. Build a foundation of faith based on the values of God's kingdom, the values of Scriptures. And in the end, the courage, if you want the trust in God, to let go as we see our children go. This is all our part of our journey as parents, mother and father alike. May we learn and be encouraged and transformed by God's word today. But in the end, this is not an improved mom message. No mountain of personal growth or parenting books or blogs or whatever, those are good too, can truly equip you for being a mom or a dad for that matter. Because it's not about dealing with the symptoms, you know, the issues a mother or father face, but with the root of all the issues, which is our rebellion against God. All this is in the end about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came to give us hope and a future, give us life in His name as we surrender our old life at the cross. And we take on the new life and we live in faith, on God's values, persistence, and when need be, learn to let go. It's all about knowing Him and making sure He is known by those that we call our children. And in the end, if you want, it's also about coming to rest. I know that moms work hard. And there is a verse that speaks so loudly, come unto me, all you tired moms, and I shall give you rest. Matthew 11:28-ish, somewhere around there. If that has not happened yet, you can come today to Jesus. I don't know you all. Actually, yeah, I kind of know you all. Come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm disappointed. I failed. I messed up. Or I'm afraid. I don't have the courage. Or I don't know. I just don't know how. Come to Him and say, Lord, all this I give it to you, and I ask you to guide me, lead me, encourage me, equip me, challenge me, and use me as a mother or aunt or a friend or a grandmother. All of those above. So if you need that, let's pray together right now with faith that God can really minister in us, to us and through us today, to give us the power of faith, to give us the foundation that cannot be shaken of the Word of God, to give us the power to persevere
like in James 1:12. And in the end, if need be, or when this need be, the power to let go. It's part of the walk with Christ as a parent. Let's pray right now. Lord, we come before you in humbleness, knowing that in and of ourselves there is nothing good that we can give. But at the same time, you have equipped us and filled us and transformed in such a way that because of you, we have something of value that can be and should be and must be passed on. Help us today, Lord, to have the courage to pass on our faith openly, unashamedly, and just pass on the faith to those that we have in our family. Help us, O Lord, to learn the ways of God, to learn the scriptures, to learn the values of God's kingdom, and then pass them on to the next generation as well. And Father, I pray that when things get hard, when we get tired, when we get disappointed or disillusioned or frustrated, that we will still persevere to do what is right because of you, Lord, because you are our strength. And Father, I pray that we can see our kids grow and trusting you and loving you and committing our lives to you. And then I pray, Lord, that we can be courageous enough to let them go, to let go of them. Because, Lord, we do not let go in a void. We just commit them into your hands because they're your kids even more than they're ours. And you love them a lot more than we do. So, Father, I pray that today we focus on these values. We focus on the words of scriptures, and we learn from those godly women, from amazing godly women, and we lay the proper foundations in our lives. But we do admit we do not have strength in and of ourselves. We need to come to you. We need to abide in you today. May your power fill us, Lord. Humble us. If we are doing good as parents, Lord, humble us because it is your glory only. If we have failed as parents, Lord, encourage us. Because, Lord, you walk with us even in those failures. And in everything and anything, Lord, help us today and every day to give you glory. Because you're the only one worthy of it. We thank you, Lord, in your Son's precious name. Amen.